if people really love using your product, right, that's a good signal, and they're willing to go talk about it. That's a good signal. But it kind of all comes back to everything we're talking about. You have to be investing in those customers, right? You have to be creating those relationships with those champions and those customers. And of course, you know, if they're getting a lot of value out of your product and out of the relationship, they're going to go, you know, they're going to go, hopefully go tell people about that, but also give them opportunities to go tell people about that. Give them the opportunity to be the hero, to be the spotlight.
Welcome to the B2B Digital Marketer Podcast, a podcast helping you to end your struggle with digital marketing, helping you to pave a new and better path to target and capture your ideal customer. Each week, we teach you how insiders and experts debunk the dreary and become engines of innovation. Now, here's your host, Jim Rembach.
Okay, B2B DM gang, we're going to have a great discussion today because I've got Jack Foster on the show with me, and she's going to tell us a little bit about her background and experience, which is really diverse. And we could talk about a lot of different subjects, but we're talking about something that she has passion for that, for me, I do too, because I see it as a huge opportunity for a lot of B2B organizations. And that is, you know, community is really has become the number one untapped revenue generation opportunity for a lot of organizations. And Jack has experience at building those. We're going to get into some of the psychology associated with it. We're going to get into the actual attribution and revenue types of numbers associated with it. And we're going to get into not frequently asked questions in regards to using community for building your B2B revenue generation opportunity, but five should ask questions about community building for B2B revenue generation. Jack, welcome.
Thank you so much, Jim. I'm excited to be here.
Before we get into our discussion, which I know is going to be quite lively, tell the B2B DM gang just a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Thank you. So yes, I'm Jack Foster. I'm the Chief Marketing Officer at WorkRamp. WorkRamp is the learning cloud. We power all of your employee and customer learning experiences. Every learning experience be powered by WorkRamp across your organization. And I've been at WorkRamp for about a year and a half, building out the team and building out the marketing function. It has been a very, very amazing journey. And I know we're going to dig into a lot of that. But I come from over 15 years of tech experience, marketing and tech, everything from public companies like CA Technologies, did a couple stints in demand gen and marketing operations between Lever and SurveyMonkey, and now here I am at WorkRamp. So definitely have had a fun career, and I'm sure we'll talk about some of that as well as we go through this episode.
Well, yeah, we will. And I think what I found quite interesting is, and we'll get into these as far as these should ask questions about community building. One of the questions I think you already answer for yourself, because it seems to be like just part of your value system and part of your operating system, is that companies really should ask, you know, in regards to, you know, really getting insights about their customer, is, am I inquisitive? And you talk about an inquisition and imperative. And before you talk about that from a customer perspective, I think it's important for you to share a little bit about, you had that background and you came to WorkRamp, but you spent some time doing what in regards to that inquisition imperative?
Yeah, I love that. The inquisition imperative. So before I answer your question directly, one of the things that was really instilled in me when I was working at SurveyMonkey, which of course rebranded to Momentive during my time there, our tagline there was, you know, power the curious. It was all about curiosity. Are you asking the right questions? And how are you using that feedback from customers, from prospects, from the market to make big business decisions? And so that is really when that imprinted on me, right? That you have to be so curious. Like, that's one of the best qualities you can have at any point in your career, is to be curious, ask why, and keep, you know, pushing the limit on that. And so when I got to WorkRamp, one of the first things I did as the marketing leader, as the first VP of marketing to join the company, before I'm really making any decisions, I wanted to kind of go in with a clean slate and get to know our customers, right, as best that I could, and ask questions directly and just understand what motivates them. You know, why did they purchase WorkRamp? What is their thoughts on the LMS learning management system market in general? What, you know, what are their priorities? What are their goals? And so in partnership with my sales organization, I was able to meet with 10 customers and do, you know, one-on-one interviews and ask all of those questions to really get my own understanding of, you know, all the things that I just said. What are their motivators and challenges, really? I also, you know, during that first 30 days, listened to about 40 gong calls. So I also had our sales team pull like some of the best calls, whether it was during discovery or during qualification, just to get a good understanding of kind of, you know, the questions our sales team is asking. Obviously, that was other data that I was able to kind of bring into my knowledge base, right? And that was really the foundation that helped me then decide, okay, here's where we're really strong in some areas, and here are areas for opportunity that marketing should be leaning into, you know, as I started to set our strategy and plan. So yeah, definitely that was instilled in me in at SurveyMonkey, and then was able to bring kind of that curiosity mindset forward as I started at WorkRamp about a year and a half ago.
And you're continuing that with your own community for WorkRamp and in regards to that inquisition imperative, is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of our values at WorkRamp is customer focus. And this has been a value at WorkRamp since before I joined. It really, you know, comes from our founders, Ted Blosser, who is our CEO and co-founder, and Arsh Mond, who is our CTO and co-founder. They, from the beginning, you know, have really had customer centricity front and center. Are we doing the right things for our customers? Are we asking the right questions? Are we building things that our customers want? And so that has been kind of in the DNA of WorkRamp from the beginning. And as we continue to evolve our strategy, our programming, our plans, of course, you know, customer inputs are a huge part of how we make decisions, right? A good way that this has really come to life, and a good example of this, one of the first, you know, hires that I had on my team was a customer marketing manager, someone who is actually dedicated to customer marketing, and not just marketing to customers, right? But understanding our customers, having programming that allows them to give us feedback. And I think a lot of times organizations put customer marketing kind of on the back burner. It's sometimes a hire that isn't made into your much bigger organization. But because of our focus on customer centricity and our belief that you need to be investing in customers and hearing from customers, right? And acting on that feedback on a regular basis, that's one of the reasons why, you know, I was very bullish on hiring a customer marketing manager in kind of the first couple of hires. So that's just one way it's come to life. But yeah, I mean, you still have to innovate. Not everything customers tell you is like exactly, you know, the way that it's going to look, but it's absolutely one of the biggest inputs that goes into our strategy and planning.
Yeah. So it's being able to identify the need sometimes in a way by which we can enable it beyond what their thinking is. That's a helpful component, but then also addressing what they feel is that you need.
Yeah. Yeah. And this comes out in a lot of different ways, right? I mean, of course, from a product perspective, getting feedback from customers on what we're building, how they're going to use it, what, you know, what their future looks like. I mean, it's a huge, you know, input into our product roadmap strategy. Just last month, we actually hosted 3 different customer roundtables where we brought in, you know, champions from really across our different audiences that we sell into, different sizes of companies that we sell into, and had an open discussion where, you know, we shared, here are the things that we're building, give us input on, you know, what would you like to see? Is this going to work for you? Is this going to be a value for you? So that's like, of course, product feedback. Our product managers also are always getting in front of customers. They're on customer calls with sales. Like they're, you know, there's a lot of synergy there. But it also, of course, informs what we do from a marketing perspective as well. Think about the content that we're creating, right? One of the things that we do from a customer perspective is actually bring our customers into our marketing. A lot of the marketing that comes out of WorkRamp is highlighting customer stories, customer insights, really spotlighting our customers to be the ones that are out there telling the story, you know, and shining a light on what they're doing. But we also, again, take insights from customers to make sure that we create content that is going to be valuable for the market. You know, if someone's searching for whatever, you know, what is the customer education program? We want our content to be front and center and something that's actually going to help, you know, help someone think about how they might structure a customer education program. But it really comes out of, you know, listening to how the language customers use, listening to what, you know, what they actually do to build a customer education program. So customer insights, I mean, it has to be a huge input, everything from, you know, product to the content that we're building to even, you know, where we spend money, where our customers are, because we know, you know, that's how we're going to reach our buyers. So there's a lot of different ways that this comes to life.
So for me, going back and asking that question of, am I inquisitive? You know, you really don't see until you just started talking about it, how it can in a multitude and magnitude way, you know, really impact your existing customers, as well as, you know, help you, you know, to hopefully attract that future customer as well.
Totally. Yeah. That's a great summarization of it. Yeah.
So then the other thing is that we need to ask ourselves, one of those should ask questions is our business resilient? So how does a community impact that?
So one of the things that when I first joined WorkRamp that I really was looking at as, you know, one of the reasons I was so attracted to this company was because there were champions for WorkRamp. You know, you could go on to LinkedIn and see people were excited about using our product. You could see that they were actually solving real business problems. It was helping businesses propel forward by implementing and using WorkRamp. And you know, when you have champions like that, right? And when you want to cultivate that, it is something you want to tap into that. You want to invest in that because, you know, there is always going to be like, we're in an economic, we're seeing headwinds, right? Everybody is seeing headwinds right now, especially in tech. Budgets are tighter. It's harder to get purchases over the line. You know, there's not as much money being spent. We've seen the layoffs, all of these things that are happening, right? We're definitely having headwinds. But if you're investing in your customers, right, and not just transactionally, you know, having a sale and then leaving the relationship alone, if you're still helping them be good at their jobs, right? If you're still helping them think about how they can accelerate their own businesses forward, if you're navigating this downturn with them, that is really going to help strengthen your relationship with your customers. And ultimately, that's how you weather these types of situations, is when you have that strong customer base, you have those strong relationships, you know, people are going to stick around because they get value out of your product, but they also get value out of your relationship. And so, you know, I know in prepping for this, we were kind of talking like community can mean a lot of different things. And yes, we have programs and specific, you know, community driven type of programming or events or things that we can talk about. But really what it comes down to is, are you strengthening your relationship with your customers? And that's how, you know, if you have these strong customer relationships, you're going to be a more resilient business. You're going to make it through, you know, some of these harder times that everyone is up against right now.
Well, and it may be helpful too, to kind of differentiate, because, you know, some people may be looking at this from a customer success lens. Some may be looking at it from a customer service lens. How do you kind of delineate and maybe, you know, look at, you know, the different elements associated with community?
Yeah. So I mean, I think you're actually hitting the nail on the head. I think everyone is responsible for community. It's almost like every touch point they have with your business is part of how you're building, cultivating community, right? And everyone is responsible for strengthening those relationships overall. So when I'm thinking about like building community from a marketing perspective, more specifically, you know, we are looking at what are all the touch points and what are the ways, again, that we are actually helping our customers be better at their jobs and, you know, their businesses be successful. This comes out in a couple of more tactical ways. One thing that WorkRamp, this was before my time, you know, WorkRamp has invested in these customer relationships, again, from kind of the inception of the company. We have a Slack group. It's a VIP community. Every single customer that is onboarded, you know, that purchases WorkRamp and onboards with us is invited into our VIP Slack community. And this is you know, not only a really great way for us to keep in touch, right? They can ask questions, they can get in touch with our team very easily, but it's a communication channel. They get to hear about all the wonderful things that we're doing. If we have a webinar, if we have a new content piece, they get to hear from our CEO. There's a direct line, right, to our executive team because we're in there having conversations. They get to connect with peers and, you know, there was actually, it was so cool. We saw that a subset of our customers, you know, they were having conversations in the Slack, and then they decided to go and create their own like roundtable Zoom meeting where they could connect and meet. So it's like really facilitating kind of people connecting. That's one way, right, that we invest in community. From more marketing programming perspective, we really believe that events are a great way to bring, you know, community together because, again, it facilitates a lot of information coming out of events and people getting inspired and taking practical tips, right? They can go implement at their own companies. It brings people together. So you get that connection. Are people engaging and meeting each other? So one of our kind of big initiatives around building community over the last year has been creating what we call WorkRamp Learn. It's a big event that we're now putting on twice a year where we do just that. We bring customers in to tell their story. We bring thought leaders in to tell their story. We invite people. There's, you know, big, like lots of fun stuff that happens throughout that day. But then beyond that, we take all of that content and, you know, put it into multiple forms, videos, blogs, so that people just have access to this wealth of information that comes out of these events. And to me, that is building community, right? People are then thinking, I want to come to this WorkRamp event, or I know WorkRamp has really has answers to the questions that I have. And it's not all about just using our product. It's like, how am I as a revenue enablement leader, what can I do to get better at my job? Oh, WorkRamp's going to have ideas for me, right? Or me as an HR and people leader, you know, what are other people in the space thinking about? Oh, I know WorkRamp's going to facilitate the, you know, that type of conversation for me. And so that's what we're doing to really invest and build community, investing in events, investing in content, investing in, again, finding the ways that we can connect, you know, connect our customers and prospects together and to us.
So, I mean, to me, when you started talking about all this, one of the things that's important, especially for a SaaS company, is, you know, the reoccurring revenue component, right?
Yeah.
And in software world, we talk about stickiness and stuff. So, if we start thinking about revenue enablement, we start thinking about, you know, learning as the growth engine and community, it's an important for people to ask, you know, are we sticky? You know, do we enable stickiness? Because a community takes it to the next level. You hit a lot of different ways that it actually can do that. What's something else that stands out in regards to helping your organization to continue that LTV, that, you know, lifetime value?
Yeah. I mean, I think it is really important to note, like, products, you have to be innovating on product, right? And it's almost like table stakes that you have to have an amazing product these days and be innovating and, you know, again, building and agile and all of, you know, all these buzzwords that we can talk about. But a differentiator is literally customer experience and community. That's how you can stand out, right? If you go on to like a G2 crowd or something like that, you'll see that if you type in learning management system or LMS, there's over 500 companies that claim to have, you know, LMS capabilities. The mature market, there's a lot of players in the space, but where we stand out is on that, not on product for sure, and also on community and customer experience. And that is, you know, that is something when you even read through the G2 reviews that people time and time again just, you know, really tout how amazing it is to partner with WorkRamp. And so that is, when you're talking about stickiness, it is literally a differentiator, a moat, right, that you can create for your business if you get really good at that. And then just overall, when, you know, taking a step back and looking at what WorkRamp does, you know, we are here to help teams literally get better at their jobs, right? We provide the software that powers the learning experiences, powers the training that people need so that they can upskill, so that they can just continue to get to better outcomes no matter what function they are in. And so, you know, we are a horizontal platform. So we sell into lots of different parts of the organization. Every team, if you think about it, needs training, right? If you're, you know, if you're an HR leader, you're thinking about how do you onboard all of your employees? You're thinking about how do you continue to develop all of your employees. You're thinking about, you know, staying compliant and secure. But you also, you know, you're thinking about, oh my gosh, all these teams need different trainings. How are we going to, you know, facilitate that? If you're a revenue leader, a marketing leader like me, you know, you're thinking about, oh my gosh, what, you know, there's so much changing in the world of marketing as an example. How do you keep your team up to speed, right, on all the things that they need to know? You need to have a plan around talent development, around learning. And so just even from a product perspective, you know, you have to have a sticky product. And I think we really do, because learning is just so critical to every part of the organization, and every team needs training, right? And then we also have, of course, our external component. Your customers need training. If you want them using your products, right, and using them well, you want to improve product adoption, you want to strengthen relationships, right? You can do that through really good customer education. And so there's kind of both components to it, is what I'm getting at. To be sticky, you have to have the product, right? Which I just shared, you know, how I think about that at WorkRamp. But I also think community creates that differentiation for us, right? In terms of why people choose to partner with WorkRamp.
But wait a minute, I thought the standard operating practice was that when, you know, we have problems in regards to staffing, and when the economy takes a little bit of downturn, the first thing that gets cut is training.
I mean, maybe back in the day that was the way that it goes, but I think more than ever companies are, you know, seeing that you need to invest in ongoing training and development in order to be successful. That's why you've seen that, like, the explosion of the revenue enablement function, because teams started to realize that, like, as they brought on revenue enablement, their teams were selling, like, they got better at selling, basically. And it's like, oh, wait, we could be more successful if we're actually investing in, you know, like, structured training and development for our sales reps. You know, even look at, I know that it's a little bit of a different market, but, like, when the Great Resignation and all these people were, like, jumping around, like, they were looking for a place where they could grow, where they were going to get their careers developed. And I still think, you know, all employees want to be working somewhere where they feel like they're getting opportunities to grow their careers, not just in practical work, but, like, what are you doing to help, you know, to help people get to the next level? And I think companies really recognize that you need to be investing in these things in order to be successful, or people are, you know, top talent's going to go other places. So
most definitely. Okay. So another question that people are asking is, do our customers market us? And you had meant, I had heard you talk before about having our customers be a marketing channel. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to what I was mentioning earlier. Like, one of the things I was so excited about joining WorkRamp was that I could see that customers were, like, unsolicited giving praise to WorkRamp. And it's like, okay, if people really love using your product, right, that's a good signal, and they're willing to go talk about it, that's a good signal. But it kind of all comes back to everything we're talking about. You have to be investing in those customers, right? You have to be creating those relationships with those champions and those customers. And of course, you know, if they're getting a lot of value out of your product and out of the relationship, they're going to go tell people about that, but also give them opportunities to go tell people about that. Give them the opportunity to be the hero, to be the spotlight. And so it's really about investing in the champions, but we do a lot of marketing programming that allows our champions to go tell the story, to be the thought leader. And that's kind of how you almost look at it, as like a channel. So again, going back to that event I was talking about, WorkRamp Learn, I think not 100% of our speakers, but probably about 80% of our speakers, 90% of our speakers are all from customer accounts, right? And it's not even that they're talking about WorkRamp necessarily. Like, of course, during those sessions, they plug us if they can, but it is actually more about just giving them the pedestal, giving them the platform to go out and talk about what their business is doing and all the innovative things that they're doing. And so that's really how it starts to become like a flywheel, right? You nurture these relationships, then customers go talk about you. The more customers are out there talking about you, the more you attract new prospects, and you really get that momentum, right, in the flywheel. But it does come back to like, are you actually investing in your customers? You might get some traction if, you know, again, if you have a great product and they want to go talk about it, but like if you're giving them the opportunities and helping them on that journey, it can really become a momentum driver for your whole business.
You know, as you were talking, I heard you say something about the different, you know, levers. And that's one of the things that you had mentioned when you went through the process of you know, vetting WorkRamp and you choosing to essentially, as they say, hang your hat there. Tell us a little bit about what you mean by strategic lever versus operational support in regards to marketing.
Strategic lever versus operational support. Can you clarify a little bit more?
So you were talking about, it was in context of, you know, making sure that you had essentially accountability for revenue.
Oh, yeah.
You had the ability to be, you know, creative in your thinking. You had the ability to essentially work across the different business silos, and how finding an organization that was using marketing as a strategic lever versus just merely a support mechanism was critical for you.
Yes.
And I think it is for a lot of people who are in a role who, let's just say, you know, don't want to be one of those 18th month CMOs that we see a lot of, which is the average tenure, by the way. But talk a little bit about how that perspective of your organization has made the opportunity for you to really thrive and flourish.
Got it. No, thank you for clarifying. I love this topic. So first and foremost, I have an incredible CEO, Ted Blother, who believes in the power of marketing, right? He himself is actually an amazing marketer. He loves to go out and tell stories. He loves to connect with customers. He's deeply invested in understanding customers and building those relationships. And so it was really like when I was, you know, again, I'd suggest any person that's looking to be a head of marketing, a CMO, you know, really vet your CEO and how do they actually view marketing? Do they view marketing as kind of an order taker, right? That is going to be just kind of doing things maybe to keep the lights on, or do they actually look at marketing as a strategic way to grow the business? And so that was one of the things that Ted and I aligned on very early on. But one of the things that I think is really important for marketers, this isn't a new concept by any stretch of the imagination, but I've spent my last 7 years being in demand generation, which is basically as close to sales as you can get as a marketer, right? Usually like all demand gen leaders now hold a number, you're holding a pipeline number, you're holding a revenue number. And so it's not just about going in and saying like, yeah, we're going to be a strategic lever. You actually need to be aligning your goals and aligning the metrics that your team is working against to pipeline and revenue. You need to be aligned to your CRO and your CEO and your CFO on, you know, what is marketing's contribution going to look like? And that needs to be the North Star. And that is how you can also make the, you know, if you're kind of stuck in this operational, like we're just operationally marketing, we're not really doing a lot of strategic work, it's probably because you aren't tying your work, right, to pipeline and revenue. And so that is extremely important for, you know, any marketing organization. I mean, our job is to literally make sales easier, right? Like not like at any level, like marketing exists so that you can sell more and that you can sell faster and do all of these things. And so that's why it's really important, I think, for marketing and marketing leaders to feel accountable to the numbers that the sales organization also feels accountable to. And by the way, this extends to customer retention and expansion as well. Like that is also part of our job, is to help. It's not just about acquiring the customer. It's also our job to keep the customer and help grow the customer. So.
Well, and the community kind of feeds both sides of that, right?
Yeah, totally.
So the fifth question that we need to be asking, a should ask question, is are we customer crusaders? And so when you start talking about different sizes of organizations, ultimately when they say, and this is, we kind of hit on this a little bit, you know, are you just really giving essentially, you know, the common response and the common activities in regards to customer centricity, or do you take it even further and be able to leverage these insights that you're capturing within that community, you know, to drive the business? You've already talked about this a little bit, but I think this puts a nice wrap around it.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're collecting all this feedback from customers and you're not really synthesizing it, or you're not doing anything with it, then yes, you could technically say you're customer centric because you're collecting data, right? But if you're really not doing anything with it, then are you really customer centric? I'm going to give you a really good example of something that I'm very passionate about on our marketing team. I think that everybody on marketing needs to hear how customers talk and be on customer calls. But of course, that's not always possible, right? You don't want to bring a marketing person on every call you're on. So of course, we love tools like Gong, right, that give us insight into, what these calls are like. And we have a goal on our team that every single week, each of us listens to at least one Gong call and then shares out, what did I learn from this? And how is this going to actually impact, maybe something that I was working on? That's one way, right, that we act on customer insight. Of course, we at an executive level are looking at, NPS scores and comments and things like that. And looking at, what are common product feedback areas that we want to work on? There's lots of insights that come out of those types of things. And then we change our programming or take actions to actually put programming into place or build things, right, that are coming out of these surveys. And so ultimately, I think the difference is that you can say you're customer centric if you're collecting data, but it really is that taking it to the next step is actually acting on it. And then I think it's also giving visibility across the organization that you are acting on it too, right? People want transparency in an organization. How are we taking customer insights into consideration and actually doing things with that? We actually, in our all hands meeting every single Monday, we have a props channel where people give recognition for the different values that we stand for at WorkRamp. And of course, I already said customer focus is one of those. And so you'll see on a weekly basis that team by team, person by person, we'll give a shout out to hey, this is something that this person did that was super customer focused, how we took feedback or how we met the customer where they needed to be. There's lots of different ways that this comes out, but I think it's keeping it front and center in the organization. I think it's collecting data and actually doing something with it. And I think it's also, sharing out, what you're actually doing with that data. So everyone knows, how to actually act on, the insights that are coming out of all these different touch points that we have with customers.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to work for a research scientist for about 15 years. And what you were just describing is the difference between your quantitative and qualitative data. And a lot of organizations, because it can be quite messy, don't really do a sufficient job of being able to collect their qualitative information. And so from qualitative information, as my former employer used to call it, is that's the whys behind the what.
Yeah.
If I have an NPS score of whatever it may be, why? It's the qualitative information that fills in that information. Because otherwise what ends up happening is we start making decisions off of our own opinion and our own intuition and our own experiences and our own, what I call arrogance, right? Well, I wouldn't like that either. Or I would like that, and we have these biases.
Totally.
So that qualitative information, being able to capture it and the abundance of it that you can get from that whole community thinking and creating that community could be almost limitless.
Yeah. Let me give you another example. It's a little bit tangential, but as you were talking, you're totally right. So this is more on the prospect side, but let's say prospects, they're still potential customers. What we started doing to get better insights into our marketing programming, we added a field on our forms, on our demo request forms that say, how did you hear about WorkRamp? And so of course, lots of people come in through paid search, or we have people coming in organically, but then there's this extra qualitative field that says, I heard about you, and it goes back to community. You were a referral from someone that I know that's used you. I heard about you from a friend. I'm a customer. I was a previous WorkRamp customer. I heard about you on YouTube, LinkedIn. And there's this whole plethora of information where we're like, oh my gosh, actually YouTube is a really good example. We weren't really doing anything with our YouTube channel. And we started seeing that this is how customers and prospects are finding WorkRamp. And so you better believe that now we're going to be investing in making sure that that's a, you know, A+ channel where people can get really valuable information. We're kind of just like throwing videos up before. And so that's exactly the type of example where it's like, we're collecting this data. We learn something new, right, from the data that we're collecting and actually making changes to our programming to better meet prospects and customers where, you know, where they are. So
that's a great example. So I want to go through and list our five should ask questions about community building for B2B revenue generation. And they were the questions that we need to be asking ourselves. Are we inquisitive? Truly. Is our business truly resilient? Do we enable stickiness to its fullest capability? Do our customers market us? And then are we customer crusaders? Now, when I start looking at those five things, I'm sure there's probably several more that come out to you. But when you start thinking about community in regards to where we are today, 2023, and leveraging it within your organization, where do you see that going in 3 to 5 years?
I think this is going to be, it already is one of the top, you know, topics and strategies I think that go-to-market teams are thinking about. I think it's going to continue to be maybe the top thing that companies invest in is how, like, what does community mean and how are you building and facilitating that? I think it's going to become even bigger as we go through, you know, the next couple of years, because I think people can see the power of community. And it's not, you know, not even just like, look at LinkedIn, right? Like that is a space that has totally evolved. It's a community because it's totally evolved. And now there's so much information. That's like where I go to get a lot of my insights about like, what is a modern marketer doing? What are other companies doing? Because there's just so much sharing that happens on there. And it's just the power of community there is like so front and center. I think it's just going to continue. People will continue to invest in, again, how do you connect your customers to other customers? How do you build a relationship with customers? How do you not only just give them a product that works, but actually invest in them being better at their jobs and helping their business? You do that through all of these community activities. So I think it's going to be even bigger in 5 years. I bet you every company is going to have a community strategy of some sort in the coming years here.
So the other thing that people talk a lot about is because we don't have unlimited resources, right?
Yeah.
Make choices and decisions. So I think one of the things that is essentially being tossed up in the air, much like communities are right now, is people talk about influencer marketing. So if you think about community versus influencer marketing, how do you see the two?
So influencer marketing, I think the way that these two things come together, there's kind of a shift that I think is happening right now, or maybe it's already happened, honestly, where yes, people want to connect with your brand, but actually people want to connect with the people behind your brand, right? People probably want to follow WorkRamp, and we put out great stuff on LinkedIn as an example on our WorkRamp channel, but our CEO has twice as many followers as our as our corporate LinkedIn, because people want to follow Ted and they want to hear from Ted. And so I think it's almost you like building community. You're going to be better at it and you will accelerate it if you have actual people that people can connect to. That's how I think that kind of shift has happened. You still have to have an amazing website. You still, you know, should be putting out stuff, I think, on LinkedIn from your corporate account, but it's going to be, who are the people that people can connect to your brand? And that will help, I think, just accelerate, you know, how you build community. So hopefully I answered your question accurately, but I really believe it's the people behind it. Yeah.
There was no right and wrong. It was
I hope I answered your question in general, but that's kind of how I think about it. Yeah.
I think that's fantastic. Cause I mean, your perspective, adds value to the conversation, because people are going through and trying to make a decision. What, you know, I can't put every single ball in the air and juggle. Heck, I can't juggle three. So you start having to make decisions, and those decisions are tough. Everybody has constraints, and, you know, if we had unlimited resources, quite frankly, it would be a boring world. It really would.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you, Jack Foster, this is an amazing conversation. How does the B2B DM gang get in touch with you?
Oh my gosh. Well, I've talked a lot about LinkedIn. Please connect with me on LinkedIn, Jack Foster, again, CMO at WorkRamp. And yeah, follow us, follow our LinkedIn, follow our CEO if you want to hear more about what we're doing. And yeah, I'd love to connect. It's fun to keep the conversation going.
Jack Foster, thank you for sharing your knowledge and wisdom, and we wish you
the best. Thank you. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you for joining us. Go now to join the B2B DM gang in the B2B Marketer LinkedIn group, where you can connect with other B2B DM disruptors and get access to our B2B DM cheat sheets, checklist, and guides. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, please help by going to iTunes to rate, review, and subscribe. And share the show on all of your digital platforms. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode. And always remember, you can automate your lead capture, but you must lure your lead.